Congratulations and welcome to service. It's Covenant Day of Escape in our monthly communion service. You are going free in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. A prophetic focus for the month is godliness is profitable unto all things. Can we say it together? Godliness is profitable unto all things. That's 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. The main text there is 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. But for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Somebody say all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of the life which is to come. Takes care of the now and gives us access to eternity with Christ. Glory to God. Let me begin this morning by saying that holiness is the most attractive face of the church. I say that again. Holiness is the most attractive face of the church, not prosperity. Prosperity is good. Not healing, not even signs and wonders, is holiness. Glory to God. Hear this, the world does not care much about your prosperity. They too are prosperous. I'm sure you know that. Some of them are very prosperous. Just that we don't envy them. The Bible says not to envy sinners. Why? Their wealth is set up for their destruction. Signs and wonders. Satan also does signs and wonders. I'm sure you know that. But you see, it is not in Satan's nature to be holy. He is not capable of holiness. So, what intrigues the unbeliever is your holiness, your righteousness, your different lifestyle. Hear this. Where you are, if you are a child of God who is righteous, they respect you. You may not even know it. Inside of them, they respect you. When they talk about you, they talk about you with respect. So the world respects the church for holiness, not for prosperity. Unfortunately, many in the church have the power, the faith, the strength, the stamina for everything else, but not holiness. We don't strive for that. And I said last Sunday, I said that holiness or righteousness requires exercise. It requires some determination. Glory to God. Hear this truth. It says, God's arm is omniscient. It said, His mercy is His delight. Eternity, it's God's duration, but holiness is God's beauty. Holiness is God's beauty. That's why you see the Bible in 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29. 1 Chronicles 16, 29. 2 Chronicles 20, 21. Psalm 29, verse 2. And Psalm 96, verse 9. All of those talk about the beauty of the holiness. Let me read the last one. Psalm 96, verse 9. Psalm 96, verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Does that include you? The beauty of holiness. So holiness is beautiful. Glory to God. I'm sure everyone here, you are attracted to people who are righteous. Even those who are ungodly. It is those that Satan has established a citadel in their heart. They are the ones who love sinners. Who want to be like unbelievers. Who want to do what sinner is doing. I pray for someone here, like the Bible says, it said, when you hear the word, harden not your heart. Just make up your mind that this month will not be a month where you are angry with the pastor and angry with the church. Glory to God. There was this story one of our leaders told. He said, he used to always hear that Winners Chapel, they preach prosperity. It's a prosperity church. So, and one day he came to church. He's been coming, been hearing those words. One day he came and he sat in the church. And they started talking about, very aggressively about holiness, the same way we are doing this month. He said, he was wondering, sir, is this Winner's Chapel? He said, he went outside to check the signage. Did I miss my way? Glory to God. We are not just prosperity preachers. We preach holiness. We preach everything in the Bible. Glory to God. Now, for those who are conversant with what we do here, we have 12 pillars of the commission. How many? Holiness is one of them. Sanctification. Glory to God. Because without holiness, the Bible says, no man shall see God. Pursue holiness. Follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see God. I pray you and I will see God. I pray when you see God, it will say, welcome my son. Welcome my daughter into my beloved. Glory to God. That will be your testimony. I said, that will be your testimony. Please take note of this, that sanctification is a choice, not a gift. It's what? A choice. I choose to be holy. So once you have made the choice, you begin to strive for it. Just like someone who says, I want to be a medical doctor, not at a certain age. That has to be at maybe a younger age. Then you begin to program yourself, you strive. You need to take the exams, study for the exam, pass the exams, and go on to become a doctor. True or false? If you say, I want to be a medical doctor, but I don't want to study. You know, it's impossible. Not just impossible. That is called impossible. I want to be a lawyer. I don't want to study. No person becomes a medical doctor without, even if you are a genius, you go to medical school. Or you become, the best you can be is the one they call native doctor. That's not your portion. That's still a doctor, just that it's native. Glory to God. Matthew chapter 5 verse 6 says, blessed are they which do hunger. Those who do hunger and what? And thirst after righteousness, for they are the ones to be filled. They shall be filled. Filled with what? Righteousness. Filled with what? With holiness. I said last Sunday, I said, keep your conscience alive. If you have a lively conscience, keep it alive. What is a lively conscience? The one that pricks you when you do evil. Keep it alive. Don't kill it. The conscience that does not excuse you, it accuses you when you do something wrong. Keep it alive. That's a healthy conscience. To keep you from destruction. Glory to God. Now, we've been looking at also some cost of ungodliness. Cost of ungodliness. So today, we're going to look at a few of those, maybe two or three as time permits us. Number one for today, ungodliness opens the doors to sickness and disease. Ungodliness opens the door to sickness and disease. Now, take note, not every sickness has sin as its origin. Not every sickness comes from sin, but most of them come from sin. And it's biblical. Some are just direct oppressions of the devil sitting upon destinies and robbing off them of their ease. No, disease means removal of ease. Mark chapter 2, verse 5 to verse 11 talks about the healing of that man at the pool of Bethesda. But you see, in the book of John, Jesus actually outlined and stated why that man had that encounter. Now, after he was healed, the Bible said that Jesus went into the temple and found him in the temple. And he said, now you are healed. Sin not, or sin no more. Lest what? A worst thing come upon you. Lest a worst thing. Meaning that his sickness, that disease that kept him for 38 years, was a result of sin. It means, now, Jesus saw him where? In the temple, and told him, sin not. It means he was a sinner in the temple. You say, how? Maybe one of those buying doves doing exchange. You know, Jesus went and flogged them and cast them out, right? I'm sure it probably was one of those who was selling and buying in the temple that time. He said, sin not, lest a worse thing come upon you. None of us will suffer that kind in the precious name of Jesus Christ. James chapter 5, verse 14 and verse 15. James 5, beginning at verse 14, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray for him and anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. He said, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Watch this. He said, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. They're praying for sickness to be healed. He said, if sin has been come, because what that scripture is saying, the likely root of that sickness must be sin. If you have sinned, the sin will be forgiven. What kind of sin? Not just the ones we think about, fornication, adultery. Unforgiveness can give cancer. You don't believe that? Unforgiveness, malice, grudge. I was in a church and a lady came out to testify during covenant hour prayer. And she said that her sister offended her, did something bad, and she was so upset. She said that each time she remembers, she will be so angry that her body will be vibrating. You know that kind of anger? For what the sister has done several years back. He said suddenly that she started falling sick. Certain things started going wrong. She went to the hospital. They started to say all kinds of things. He said she knew that it was because of that unforgiveness. She asked God to help her forgive her sister. As soon as she was able to forgive the sister, all the symptoms vanished. Hear this. If she didn't do that, the next thing they go, you say, you have cancer. Cancer of the blood, cancer of the bone, cancer of this, cancer of that. Why? Unforgiveness. That's sin. So ungodliness opens the door for sickness and for disease. None of us will be found there. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 17. It says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God. Somebody say, I'm the temple of God. Say it louder, I'm the temple of God. What does that mean? God dwells in you. He said, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth where? In you. Somebody say, in me. Look at verse 17. He says, if any man defile that temple, if any man defile that temple, he says, him shall God destroy. He said, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are, which temple you are, which temple I am. Glory to God. Number two, cause of ungodliness is that it blocks access to supernatural breakthroughs. Ungodliness blocks access to supernatural breakthroughs. Psalm or Proverbs chapter 1 verse 23 says, turn ye at my reproof. Turn ye at my reproof, and I will pour out my spirit upon you. So I will make known my words unto you. But first, turn at my reproof. Reproof means correction. When I correct you, turn around. Then I will pour out my spirit upon you. What will the spirit do? It will cause you to break forth on every side. Glory to God. You know, when God withholds prosperity or breakthrough from the sinner, it's even for his protection, or for the one who is a child of God who is living in sin. It's for his protection. Why? Because the one who prospers and is unrighteous will be destroyed by the wealth. The breakthrough will break him down. None of us will be broken down by our breakthroughs in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. What do I mean? Suddenly, a man who is prospering, God opened doors for him. The next thing, he started to think. I told you sometime what one man told me, said that the wife is old. Meanwhile, biologically, he's older than the wife. Age-wise, he's older than the wife. Said the wife is old. You know why? Because God started giving him some change. Whatever God gives you now, there's more. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard. Neither has entered into the heart of man the thing that God has packaged for his lovers. Some of us is just trying you with those $100,000, $200,000 to see whether he'll be faithful because he has millions keeping. But the man suddenly said, the wife is old. I said, meaning what? He needs someone that he can be taking for conferences. I said, it is God who gave you opportunity to go on conference. When he removed the conference, you stay at home. Some start suddenly because of resources. They begin. Someone was building a house for a side chick. Side chick. You know, there's also side cock. It's not only side chick. The men are called side cock. The women are called side chick. Building a house for a side chick. And the wife was struggling. Such people can't go far because the thing will crash. To crash. None of us will be found there. But I pray for you that the height that God has determined to take you, he will take you there. In the name of Jesus Christ. Blocks access to supernatural breakthrough. Isaiah chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. It says, arise, shine, your light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2. It says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon you. Say amen to that. Amen. Then he said that the Gentiles shall come to thy light. Underline it in your Bible. And kings to the brightness of thy rising. But my focus is that the Gentiles, that is unbelievers, will be attracted to your rising. Glory to God. Because they will see that this is righteousness without crookedness. You are not cutting corners. You are not cheating people. But you are rising. Glory to God. And that's what will make them get attracted to you. You know, I told you, I think that was maybe Wednesday, that we are the Bible that the unbelievers read. Do you agree with that? They don't read the Bible. They read you. They see what you're doing. And they want to be like you. But unfortunately, many of us drive them away. There was a story in one of our churches where someone came to church and saw an usher who was a colleague in the office. She did not know that that's the church that that colleague attends. Immediately she entered. The usher was ushering her in. She just stood. He said, what are you doing here? He said, this is my church. He said, this is where you worship. She turned back. He said, if this is where you worship, I won't worship here. Someone heard and had to go out to ask what's going on. Say, no, this person? And if this is where our church is, I'm not coming near here. There are many of us whose action, our action, driving people. You see, may someone not go to hell because of myself and you. Say a louder amen to that. Oh, if this is what it is, I'm not going. That's not your portion. Number 3, cost of ungodliness is that it blocks access to eternity with Christ. It blocks access to eternity with Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to verse 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 to verse 11. It says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? It said, be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. You see drunkards there? Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. It's emphatic, all of these people. And such were some of you. Not some, such are. Must be in the past. Such where many of us came from that realm, right? Some of us, if they play back some of the things we used to do, you'd be ashamed now, right? But such where, and the good news is God does not remember them anymore. Even when you sometimes you remember what you used to do in the past, God does not remember them anymore. So long as they were confessed and forsaken. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 21 verse 8. Revelation 21 at verse 8. He said, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, and the murderers, and the warmongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. No matter the lie, white lie, blue lie, yellow lie, green lie, all liars shall have their part where? In the lake which burned with fire and brimstone, which is the second death, is simply saying that all of these people in this ungodly class are going to hell. In the lake of fire. And that's why everyone must carry their life with trepidation, with some level of fear. Don't live your life like everything ends here. It does not. It does not. There's life after here. I understand, I read that scientists are still trying to understand what happens after death. They will study it for till they pass. They're trying to study. They won't find out. They don't know. Glory to God. Now, take note that repentance is the mystery of godliness that is able to rescue anyone from the dungeon of sin, no matter his or her past. Like I said, God does not count on your past if you are now in Christ. If any man be in Christ, is what? A new creature. He said, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become what? New. New. Everything is new. If he's a new creature. Glory to God. But you must repent. If you don't ask God for forgiveness and leave that part, then there's no forgiveness. Hear this. If God makes up his mind, he can cast a man away. I keep saying it, I've said it multiple times. There's none of us who is indispensable with God. Have you ever heard that, oh, they said someone passed, someone died, and the earth stopped rotating? Even the business where you are, where you work, the organization where you work, they say you are a megastar, you are a superstar. Mind yourself and just advise yourself. God forbid anything happens, the organization goes, they will replace the person. How much more, God? No. He doesn't need you and I for anything. So he says, behold, it's not for his sake. Glory to God. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 25 to 27, 1 Kings chapter 21, you know, King Ahab, the Bible said that he sold himself. Okay, I like that. He said, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Sell. That means it's like he had mortgaged himself to do evil. He had determined that I will be doing evil, powered by his wicked Jezebel, who was his wife. And then God said, I'm going to deal with you. Send a prophet, go and tell him, Elijah, tell him, I'm going to deal with Ahab. I'm going to cut off everyone that is a male in his lineage. I'll destroy all of them. Himself will be dead, and Jezebel, dogs will eat their flesh, lick their blood. When Ahab heard this, the Bible said, he became sorrowful. I think verse 26. Okay, thank you. This is the verse. And it came to pass when Ahab heard those words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon himself, his flesh. Sackcloth is what they use for mourning. And fasted. This man, this wicked man, knows how to fast. He fasted and lay in sackcloth and went how? I can't hear you. Went how? Softly. Softly means he was no longer prideful. He went meekly, with meekness. Do you know, God, it caught God's attention. When God saw it, he called Elijah's attention. Look at the next verse. Quickly, next verse. And when the Lord, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the teach by saying, seest thou how Ahab humbled himself before me? Because he humbled himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days. Period. For him, repenting, you see, repentance is not just saying it, it is the act. He went softly. He changed his mind. All of the wickedness that he did, God said, I won't bring this evil in his days. Look, people of God, if you ask me, I will tell God, please do it in his days. He still deserves it. I'm sure when, if I ask you right now and I say, do you know anyone who has offended, anyone who deserves to be punished by God? How many will know people like that? You see, you are pretending now. I can see one hand over there. If I were to ask you, how many people know who God should punish? Someone that God should deal with. Many of you, you have more than 20 people. You can give me names that God should deal with, punish these ones. But you see, some of those people you think he may have forgiven them already. So while you are still here thinking that person deserves to be punished, he is off the record. Maybe you have even entered the record yourself. And you are thinking that that person to be punished. None of us will be found there. You see, I said on Sunday, I said, face yourself. Face your life. Glory to God. I'm not saying don't be particular about what someone else is doing. If you can, help someone, rescue someone, but rescue yourself first. Be particular about your own relationship with God. Some of us have, I don't know what to call it. You know, the Bible said that someone who has a beam, you know, you have a plank in your own eyes, you are trying to take a speck out of somebody else's eye, how are you going to see your way? Get rid of that plank, the billboard. Your own is a billboard covering your eyes. The other one is just a speck in the eyes. Remove your billboard, the plank covering your eyes first. Glory to God. Hear this. Do you know that people who are in sin are very accusatory? People who are in sin don't like to forgive someone. They don't want to hear that someone else who is doing something is forgiven. They accuse others a lot. But you see, the man of God said, when you point like this, only one is accusing one. This one is reporting you to God. The remaining three are accusing you back, which is a stronger accusation. Glory to God. What should we do when we find people in error? Seek to raise them out. That's what the Bible says. Try by yourself if you can. Talk to elders in the church to see how the person can be lifted. Someone say amen to that. Amen. But we are saying that God wants genuine repentance for him to forgive. You want to be forgiven? Genuine repentance is required. You know, I read about Paul the apostle. When Paul in Acts chapter 9 verse 26, the Bible said, after he repented, he wanted to join himself. Is when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he had said to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Because they knew the atrocities that Paul come. He was the one persecuting Christians. Now he said, I'm also a disciple. They were afraid so that he won't start killing them. So, but the good news is he had repented. And you see, he came last, he became first. Glory to God. It's not how long. It's I've been in this church even before Papa got the mandate, before God called him. In fact, he called us together. It's not how long. It is the relationship. Glory to God. Thank God there are many here who have been here a long time and it shows in their life by their covenant walk with God. But if anyone is under the sound of my voice and is not showing, during the empowerment summit yesterday, God's servant was saying it, let it show. You have been a believer 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. Come on, let it show. Glory to God. Let's move on. What are the benefits of sanctification? Quickly, benefits of sanctification. Benefits of sanctification. Number one, it secures peace and serenity. Sanctification secures peace and serenity. Hear this. Those who are clean are calm. Those who are righteous are holy and they are peaceful. So righteousness confers on you peace. peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? Peace that the world can't understand. That means even in the face of a storm, the righteous are still peaceful. Glory to God. I'm sure you understand what that means. It's like, let me use this analogy. Someone who's driving here in the U.S. and you have no driver's license, you can't be peaceful. You are driving. I know I have witnesses here this morning. You have done it before. You can't be peaceful. When the cops are going on their own, by themselves, they are not coming near you. Your heart starts beating. They are coming, they are coming, they are coming. They are not coming for you. Hear this. The criminal, the thief, is never at ease when the cops are around, even when they are not looking for him. Guilt has a way of tormenting the one who is guilty. Isaiah chapter 32 verse 17. Isaiah 32 verse 17 and verse 18, it said, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance." For how long? Forever. It said, "And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation." If that is you, say loud amen. Amen. "And in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places." Say amen to that. You see, your safety is not in how tall your fences are, the fence of your house. Thank God they don't allow those kind of fences here. Some of you in Africa, your house is not visible. Only your fence can be seen. Only the fence. You see the fence, the house is hidden inside. The fence is so tall. Horses are prepared for the day of battle, but safety is what? Of the Lord. Safety is of the Lord. And he protects those who are godly. The ungodly cannot go unpunished. Glory to God. Isaiah 59 and verse 8. Isaiah 59 and verse 8, it says, "The way of peace they know not." They don't know that way. It said, "And there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them," that is, they made for themselves, "crooked paths." It said, "Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace." Shall not know peace. Someone went and stole something and lost his peace and came back and he said, "I have to return this thing." I said, "What happened?" "I took it. It's not mine." Thank God for a conscience that still pricks. Glory to God. Peace gone to preserve your life. So you want peace in your life, follow after God, follow after righteousness, and then peace is released. Glory to God. Romans chapter 14 verse 17. Romans 14 and verse 17, see what it says. Romans 14 and verse 17. It said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Righteousness, that is the combination. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So without righteousness, there's no peace. And conversely, also, there's no joy. What do you do that takes away your peace? It can be something that God approves of. Matter of fact, when you start planning certain things and you lose your peace, check that thing again. You start planning something, even if it looks good to you, but you suddenly, you know, peace is one cardinal test to determine whether you are in the will of God. Peace. But some of us say, whether I'm peaceful or not, I'll still do what I want to do. That is a design for destruction. Number two, benefit of sanctification. Number two is divine honor. Divine honor. Men and women who are righteous enjoy honor from God. May you receive that order of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 at verse 19 to 21. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that never the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from iniquity. That's the foundation, righteousness. He said, but in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. He said, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto what? I can't hear it. Unto what? So it is your purging that determines you being a vessel for honor. Sanctified and meet or suitable for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now, in a house where you have vessel of gold and of silver, then you have the one of wood. Now, let me ask you. If you were to go to a house, what kind of vessel would you want to be served with? Like a cup. How many would like to be served with a gold cup? How many would like to be served with a wooden cup? Some many of you didn't raise your hand for anyone. Which one do you want? You want glass cup? The one that you know, glass. Glory to God. So, but we are just talking about the different kind. Gold is valuable. Now, there are some here, I don't know, probably, those days growing up, we used to have those kind of silverwares in the house. Very special, very expensive. They keep them for very special visitors. How many remember those? Not this fast food thing that they carry around. They keep them separate. They don't use them every time. But when certain kind of visitors come to the house, they bring those ones out. That's what we are talking about. So, when God wants to use you as a vessel unto honor, he uses you to glorify himself. Glory to God. But it takes us purging ourselves to qualify for that kind of use. Glory to God. Now, what are the pathways to sanctification? Take note, number one, we must crave for the endowment of the spirit of holiness. Crave for it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. Talking about Jesus, he said, and declared to be the Son of God with power, not just that, but according to the spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Hear this, I've said it, I think last Sunday. Power without holiness is a recipe for destruction. Any man who has power and has no righteousness, that means he has no control. And power without control is accident. Power without control will end up accidented. That's not your portion. In the name of Jesus Christ, crave for it, strive for it. Romans chapter 8 at verse 13. Romans 8 at verse 13. It says, for if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify or deaden or kill the deeds of the flesh, it says, ye shall live. Mortify. Put it to death, the deeds of the flesh, and then you're able to live. Glory to God. Number two, we must engage the power of the blood for our rescue. Engage the power of the blood of Jesus for our rescue. Engage the power of the blood of Jesus for your rescue. When situations come around that are unpleasant, the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 11 and verse 12. Zechariah 9. 11 and 12, as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit, wherein is no water. He said, turn you to your stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee by the blood. The blood is your stronghold. Glory to God. That's why you're also partaking of the blood this service. Hallelujah. Please take note that a sanctified life is impossible without faith. You can't even relate with God without faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 6. Without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. And then that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without faith you have no access to God. That's why the Bible said the just shall live by his faith. The just can be holy by his faith. Glory to God. By faith. Habakkuk 2:4. The just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, the just shall live by faith. Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews 10:38, now the just shall live by faith. Say, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. If any man draw back, means you have gone back to your vomit. I have no pleasure. God will have pleasure in you. I said, God will have pleasure in you in the name of Jesus Christ. Today is Covenant Day of Escape. I'll spend a few minutes on this. We'll pray and partake of the communion. Please take note of these. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's begin from there. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Hebrews 2. He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Hear this. The grand rescue plan for man that God set in place is salvation. God's grand rescue plan for man is salvation. Without salvation, forget about escaping from anything. So you want to escape from whatever you may be going through? First, are you a child of God? Are you born again? That's number one step. Because whatever you may be going right now, whatever may be holding you bound, that is not God's will. That Pharaoh held the children of Israel in bondage was not God's will for them. He wanted them to leave. But if you are not a child of God, you are not even a candidate for that escape. He can't set you free. If you try to escape by your strength, you will fail. You need help. Somebody say, I need help. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 to verse 12. Revelation 12, 9 to 12. It says, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He said he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. Did you see that? And strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Someone say amen to that. Amen. And by the word of their testimony. And they love not their life even unto the death. Glory to God. You want to escape? Engage the power of the blood. Engage the power of the blood. Number two, redemption repositions us far above the woes of life. Redemption, salvation repositions you and I far above the oppressions of the devil. Glory to God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 to verse 8, and Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Where you are seated, when you are born again, you are seated with Christ, is far above principalities and powers. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Now, quickly, what are the ways to escape? What are the ways? What are the covenant ways for our escape? Number one, God's escape agenda demands that one be born again. We have said that. And Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And John 3, 3 to 5. Number two, it demands that one engages with the word. Engage with the word. Study the word. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 13. And Psalm 107 at verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. That word became delivered them from their destruction. Glory to God. He sent his word and healed them from their destruction. Someone say amen to that. John 8, 32. John 8 at verse 32. John chapter 8, 32, it says, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth that you know shall what? Not set you free. Make you free. Set you free means it can bulldoze its way to set you free. But make you free means it goes through the process. Glory to God. You know, there's a difference between going to break a jail and remove a prisoner. That prisoner will be recaptured. Except the person who broke the jail is very powerful and can keep the prisoner. But if the attorney goes and goes through the process and argues the case, which is what Jesus did as our advocate, he said, this man does not deserve to be in jail. He needs to be set free. He paid the price. I took his place, and he records it and signs the document. That is making you free. Nobody can bring you back in cage. Glory to God. That's the difference. So today, God is making you free. I said today, God is making someone free. And that means you are free indeed. Somebody say, I'm free indeed. Now, escape from the words of the devil, number three, it demands that one walks in the fear of God. Don't do anything you like. Walk in the fear of God. Have checks and balances. Have rules for yourself. I won't do this. I won't do this. Even if no one is seeing you, God is seeing you. I won't do this. I won't do this. Give yourself boundaries. And then you see, God will ensure that no devil is able to take you captive. Someone say amen to that. Psalm 34 verse 7. Psalm 34 verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamp about round about them that fear him. And what? He delivereth them. He rescues them from destruction. He gives them a way to escape from the challenges of life. Glory to God. Lift up your right hand, someone. Lift up your right hand. I pray over you that whatever may be holding you down right now, as you hold onto godliness, you are escaping now. You are coming out of it now in the name of Jesus. And when you look back, you say, thank God who rescued me in Jesus' precious name. Number five, and I will end number four. Number four, he said, recognize the blood of Jesus is the lifeline for our rescue. We've talked about that. The blood of Jesus is the lifeline for our rescue. Number five, be committed to serving God and the interests of his kingdom as a lifestyle. I'm going to stop here. Be committed to serving God and the interests of his kingdom as a lifestyle. Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua said, now, if it seem evil for you to serve God, choose. You have a choice. Choose this day whom you shall serve, as for me and my house, we have chosen, we have determined that we will serve God. Why? We know what God has done for us. We see what he holds in store. Glory to God. Serve God as a lifestyle is a recipe for your escape. You know, Isaiah chapter 38, that's how Hezekiah escaped from death. He told God, remember how I have walked before you. God gave a verdict, say, you will die. Tell him he's dying. It was not Satan. God said so. Tell Hezekiah to pack up. His time is up. He said, I don't deserve to die. God, remember how I have walked before you. I have served you with the integrity of my heart. I have done that which is good in your sight. I don't deserve to die. God said, you are saying the truth. So you can change God's heart by your service. I said jokingly some time ago, it's not really a joke. In the face of difficult situation, in this kind of situation of being entrapped, what will you remind God of? What will you remind God concerning? Now, this morning, we had a testimony at our international headquarters in Kinanland where someone testified. A tree fell on him. What? What fell on him? Tree. T-R-E-E. Not the number three. Fell on a man. And he was taken to the hospital. While in the hospital, he was asking God, saying to God, remember my service. Remember how I have served you. Remember how I serve you in the integrity of my heart. They did all the scan, everything to check. Not a bone was broken. A tree. You know what a tree does to a building. The resident pastor of Faith Tabernacle, Pastor David Jr. was saying that, you know, when a tree falls on a house, we have hurricanes in some places here in the U.S. It's not near your house. Say amen to that. Hurricanes and tornadoes. I've seen what they've done in Texas. They hit a building, crush the building. They hit car and you see mangled metal. And a tree falls on a man, no broken bone. That's supernatural rescue. Glory to God. I pray for you. No matter what the enemy shoots at you, God will deliver you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please recognize that escape from the powers of darkness is a reality. And I speak to you here that whatever any enemy has used against you will backfire on them. I said will backfire on them. Some time ago, someone told me a story. I didn't know they shoot lightning to people. He told me what happened. He was in a house. And he said, lightning came in. He said, it looked like a ball, shiny silver ball, came into the house and moved through, went into the room. And wickedness is real. That's why when we read in the call to worship, Psalm 124, verse 7, it said, our soul is escaped as the bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Somebody say, I've escaped. He said the ball of that ball lightning, white ball, shiny ball, went round. And because the man who it was sent to was in church, that's another point. Stay in church. Stay under cover. He that dwelleth where? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide what? Under the shadow means under the protection of the Almighty. Making you the apple of his eyes. So that anyone who is looking for you is looking for God. I didn't hear your loud amen. They are seeking for you. They are seeking for your God. When they collide with your God, they will be crumbled. That lightning ball, the man said, turned out and went out and returned to sender. He told me, he said, that's how it works. He used to be on the other side. So he knows a lot of those things. He said that when it is shot out, that thing, if it does not find that target, it will go back to the sender. And it will destroy the sender. Lift up your right hand. Anyone who shoots evil concerning you, that evil will return back to them. Every demonic arrow shot against you will go back to the sender. In the name of Jesus. And so shall it be. The story is that it killed the man who sent it. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. My time is spent. You're under the sound of my voice this day. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. I will cause you to escape whatever you are going through. You're under the sound of my voice. You're not yet born again. I'd like to announce to you, Jesus loves you. He shed his blood for you and I. He desires your rescue. You want Jesus to come into your heart right now? You want to be born again? You want salvation? We said it's the number one. It's the biggest step towards your escape from the woes that is in the world. You want that rescue? I'd like the privilege to pray with you this morning. Wherever you are, signify, lift up your right hand above your head. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. God's servant, our Father, said it is foolishness to be shameful of what is gainful. Don't be ashamed. Wherever you are right now, you are not yet born again. You are not a child of God. You have not said yes to him. You don't have a relationship with him. You are not in Christ. You could be in crisis. I'd like to pray with you wherever you are. Let Jesus come into your heart. Wherever you are, you want Jesus to come into your heart. You want to be born again. You want to be sure of your salvation. Place your right hand upon your chest. I'm going to be praying with you in a moment. Place your right hand on your chest. I'll be praying with you in a moment. You want to be born again? Place your right hand on your chest. I'll pray with you in a moment. For someone else, I'll make a second call. For your case, you were born again, but right now you are no longer in Christ. You have left the faith. You have disconnected from your source, disconnected from your Father, and you know it. You feel it. But there's remedy for that. You can rededicate your life to Christ and let Jesus return. How? Father, I am sorry. I walked away from you myself, but I'm coming back to you, and he will take you back. If that is your desire, I'd like to pray with you as well. You want to give your life to Christ for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life to Christ, place your right hand on your chest as I pray with you. Someone whose hand is